Has anyone else noticed the plethora of things that are prefaced these days with the word radical? So you, like anything at all? Radical theology, radical rest. Pardon? Yeah. So it's everything. So when I saw the title of a book called The Journal of Radical Permission, I was like, yes, I need that. Thank you. But permission for what? Am I radical? I was drawn to the book, one, because the cover is purple and has this beautiful flowering tree on it, but also by the authors, Adrienne Marie Brown and Sonia Renee Taylor, whose work I have admired for so long. I'm so amazed by what they create, both separately, together, and with other people, that I wanted to see what they created together. But what really drew me in was this first question in this journal, this work to do toward radical permission. And the question was, why did this journey call to me? And I did not know the answer. Why did a journey toward radical permission call to me? With all this identity that has some privilege attached to it, some that quite does not quite anymore as I grow older. Why did that speak to me? So I had to sit with that for a while. I thought, it calls to me because I'm in a liminal space right now. I'm between seminary and ordination. I keep being between those things. I'm trying to change that, but I'm between those things, between the formation and the fulfillment of that, not the end of that. There's never an end to the formation, but the formation. Between parenthood and elderhood, between who I was and who I am becoming, and who I want to be, who I strive to be. Possibly between spiritual paths, you know? I don't know where I'm going to end up, do you? No? Good. Good. But I'm also called to that question, why does this journey call to me? Because of the justice work I've done. A lot of it is through the Side with Love, the justice ministries of the Unitarian Universalist Association. But some of it is just that I want a world where everyone matters, where everyone is loved for how they are, even though we call ourselves to something better, kinder, more loving than what we are at this moment. The journal grew out of the work of Taylor and Brown. Taylor wrote The Body is Not an Apology, which also has a journal with it, in case you're really into that kind of thing. Taylor writes that radical, meaning of or going to the root or origin of something, so radical, digging down deep. Radical self-love world is a world free from the systems of oppression that make it difficult and sometimes deadly to live in our bodies. Using the term radical, Sonia writes, elevates the reality that our society requires a drastic political, economic, and social reformation in the ways in which we deal with bodies and body difference. And when I read that, I said amen. Because we're in a time as if we've never been in that time before, where people are seeking control over others' bodies. Make no mistake, that's what it is. This is what really got me, this quote. It is through our own transformed relationship with our bodies that we become champions for other bodies on our planet. So this is not just our own self-care, our own self-love, but it is our community care and our community love, because we are not in this work, in this world, alone. Adria Marie Brown, in an editorial from Yes Magazine, my favorite publication of all, Some Hope, reminds us that we are whole systems in and of ourselves. We are not just our pains, not just our fears, and not just our thoughts. We are entire systems wired for pleasure, and we can learn to say yes from the inside out. What did that mean? I say yes to a lot of things. I decided last year was my year of yes. It didn't get me in very much trouble. But saying yes to ourselves from inside out, what does that look like? And informing that picture, that idea of that yes to the inside out, yes to the radical permission to love our own bodies just as they are. Taylor and Brown created not just the Journal of Radical Permission, but the Institute of Radical Permission. The journal is a companion to that. I will confess, I just started diving into the Institute's offerings. So you're on this journey with me. Thank you very much. Always learning. You all know, maybe here, maybe here, maybe way down in your belly, that the oppressive systems and structures of this world can distance us from our divine nature. For most of us, and this is from the article in Yes Magazine, for most of us, the permission to be our full, authentic, and divine selves was interrupted early in our lives, replaced by, does any of this sound familiar, people-pleasing, self-denial, scarcity. To experience liberation, we have to give ourselves radical permission to live our lives rooted in our deepest yes. I want to say that your journey toward radical permission is going to look different from somebody right next to you, or right behind you. We all have different lived experiences. Some of us have lived experiences that make it that much more difficult to be in the bodies that we have. Part of the need for this work and for therapy and for other mental health practices and for yoga and Reiki and all those things is the legacy of those oppressive systems and structures, multi-generational and ongoing trauma, deep harm for African American, indigenous, LGBTQIA plus folks, but also the trauma of all those messages that those of us who are white, got. The crush of productivity and capitalism, of fitting some intangible, unearned superiority. The ones we strive to overcome by doing this work so we don't, as Reverend Laura Campbell said, we don't transmit dirty pain to other people. Now, within the journal and the Institute, there are 7 practices. The first is honing your body technology, so kind of getting to know this physical self. Again, self-worship, which sounds a little strange when you're thinking about not putting yourself first, but okay. Loving your shadows, the dark parts of yourself, mutual worship, that back and forth of loving and appreciation. Life alignment. How do I get my life, my living within this body in alignment with my values? And then what's emerging? What's coming forward as I've almost completed that journey in the journal to radical permission? And then within each of those practices, Brown suggests picturing a compass, one that will guide you on the journey ahead, that instead of north, east, south, and west, the points are surrender, curiosity, grace, and satisfaction. Any of those words go to you? So because this is an experiential thing, they invite you into different kinds of physical practices, some meditation, some yoga, things like that. I'm not going to ask you to do yoga this morning unless you feel like it, and then do. But I want to invite you into one of these first practices in the journal. But I also want to set this up this way, because this is tuning into our bodies, and our bodies often hold unaddressed trauma. There's stuff stuck in there you may not even be aware of. So before we begin a body practice, I want you to ground and center yourself. Look around this space. Just look around and see it. Look around your space wherever you are on Zoom. Feel yourself in this space, maybe the way the air flows over your skin. Find one thing, one person even, but probably a thing, that makes you feel anchored to here and now. Okay. So if you find yourself growing anxious or unsettled as we go through these short practices, look at that anchor. Remind yourself that you are here and now amongst people who care about you and your well-being. If you need to, you can even place a hand over your heart, give yourself a bit of a pat. There you go. It's okay. Be right here. All right. And also, you are welcome to opt out of any of these prompts at any time. If it is not for you, let it go. Okay? All right. From the intro to the first practice, your body is alight with wisdom. Right this minute, it is communicating its secret knowledge to you. The first practice is an invitation to tune in to the divine information being conveyed through bone, breath, belly. The beginning steps of a life of radical permission requires your willingness to hear and honor your body's memories, your sacred and temporary home, and the profound magic therein. So I'm going to jump you right into what is basically the second compass point. Where in my body do I feel my resistance to change? Where in my body do I feel my resistance to change? All right. Okay, you are here with people who love you. I will say I have found that I often feel that surrender, that resistance to change, right in my belly. Right in my belly. There it sits. Our second prompt is the compass point of grace. Now, you may take this grace in multiple ways, whether it's being graceful or that grace that just is for you. And the prompt is, what feels graceful in my bones, in my muscles? What feels graceful in my bones, in my muscles? Will you take a breath in with me? Look around the space again. Feel yourself in this room. You are surrounded by people who care about you. For this last compass point of satisfaction, this one was tough for me. What is one time I remember being satisfied, and how did my body know? What is one time I remember being satisfied? How did my body know? And take a breath again. I was trying so hard to answer that question without using food. I failed. But I remember the time I took a first bite of one tiny square of really good dark chocolate. And I said, oh, that was really good. And I reached for another one. I thought, I don't need another one. And for somebody who loves to eat the entire Hershey bar, I was like, wow, that was kind of amazing. That's what satisfaction was. It was enough. It was enough. Woo! Now, all of these practices will hit each one of you differently, because of different lived experience, different reactions of the world to you. But they are all for you, toward radical permission, which lets each one of us then advocate for all the other bodies in the world. All bodies are sacred. Reverend Cecilia Kingman, in the 2023 Berry Street essay, said and wrote, "Because our liberation can't be in any way continuing to cut off parts of ourselves, we must engage in processes of moral reflection with one another to see where these ideas and habits are gaining hold. I urge you to be tenacious in your spiritual practices." Remember, they are practices, always beginning, and community care. You are with people who care about you. May we be brave enough, humble enough, open enough, and loving enough to listen deeply for the messages our bodies need us to hear. May we find a space to be safe enough to listen. May we act for justice and for the sacredness of every body. It is the call of our faith. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.